Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
O'Hara. Hello.
Devin. Hello, Devin. All right, this is late night with the Art of Craftsmanship Podcast. Devin, what do you got for us this evening?
Money, money, money must be funny in the rich man's world. Money, money, money. Always sunny in the rich man's world. Oh. You know that's from?
I don't know. It sounds like Jack Nicholson.
Well, yeah, I didn't
but it's not the way you
like
really
that.
Do Jack Nicholson. But yeah.
I was trying to throw money, money, money. Yeah, I was trying to throw you off the way I said it.
Money, money.
That is the lyrics from Money, Money, Money by ABBA.
Oh, man. You said it very much not ABBA-y.
I was trying.
Money, money, money.
Money, money,
money.
Money,
money, money.
I could have done
the rich
that.
Man's world.
That's wrong too.
That's like Michael Jackson.
No, okay. So I brought that up. Not the quote's fine. It's just the song, right? Money's easy if you have it, and all that stuff. But man, I have been on an ABBA kick. I think I might have told you this over camping. Man, I dated this girl once. Her and her sister loved ABBA. If all you know of ABBA is like Dancing Queen, it's like fine. I don't like the song Dancing Queen very much, right? But I've got no problem with disco or dance music, right?
Right.
But I remember them, they were singing a bunch of songs. They must have had like a karaoke thing with ABBA in it.
Yeah.
I was like, these are pretty good. Like, I really liked it. And then I had like a few, and I've had a few ABBA songs on like my playlist for a long time. And then I just did like a deep dive because I'm constantly looking for things, fun dance songs to play for Maeve, you know?
Yeah, because your daughter loves music and loves to dance.
Right. So I'm always looking for like fun songs to have in the house going on. And man, I'll tell you, there's some great ABBA songs. Like really well done, well constructed, like really quality songs with like great harmonies and great like synth stuff and great just really well written songs and like really well produced. So
yeah,
I don't know, I just wanted to talk about ABBA a little bit.
I think most, like, I wouldn't say most, but I think a lot of musicians, a lot of bands that make it as big as, like, when they become really popular, you know, whether you like them or not, like, I think most of them have quality songs. You know, you just have to, like, dig a little bit. You know, because there's a reason why they've made it to where they have. You know, it's probably from, like, you know, touring and doing small shows for years and years and get bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and then you get, like, a hit and then, you know, like, you follow it up and then you have a following and, like, a band like ABBA is huge, right? It's like, it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but like there's a reason why they're huge. It's not because they're like, not just because of Dancing Queen, you know, like, so.
Yeah. Right. And it's,
if you dig a little bit. Yeah.
And everyone knows like that's the ABBA like logo with just the letters and like the two B's like facing each other. Like that's just a image that everyone knows.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But now I was like, you know, and I look into them and it's like, you know, you get the two girls and the two guys. And the guys were married to the two girls, and they're like this weird Swedish group that won, what's it called? Like Euro something? There's this big, it's like the Olympics, but for music. And it's been going on since like the 60s or 70s, where every country gets to put in one group and one song. I think it's Eurovision.
Okay.
And they all compete. So ABBA became popular because they became like the first like non like English like band to like group to win this thing back in the 70s or the late 70s with the song Waterloo, which is super catchy. But so then, you know, it's just two guys writing like pop hits for like 12 years and they've got a million hits. That's why I like the movie. Like Mamma Mia came out and was like huge because you can have all their songs and they're slightly like musical anyway, you know, like sing along songs that you could imagine being in like a Broadway play.
Yeah.
even though Mamma Mia kind of, I didn't like it very much. Like I think Caitlin and I tried to watch it once and it was just like, there was, and also one of the things I don't like is like you had them singing along to the songs, but then there was ADR for everything else. So there was no live like recording of voices. You could tell everything was just recorded later.
When did Mamma Mia come out? Not too long ago, right? I'm looking at the movie poster.
No, probably like 2008.
Meryl Streep, Pierce Brosnan, Colin
maybe
Firth,
2008.
Stellan Skarsgård. Is that somebody?
So that's also something that like propelled them because that was like one of the biggest things. You know, everyone knows like Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
But I'm going to send you a few like good
ABBA songs.
Oh, and, good. And I'm sure you'll dig it.
All right. I'm down with that.
It's fun stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, you've always like had an interesting take in music. As in like, I don't know. Like I think you hear in music you hear quality in like in all parts of music, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just like this is the type of music I like and this is the type of music I don't, so I'll discount it, you know, like, oh well, mm-hmm. I'll listen to this band, I'll listen for like good drum beats or like, you know, a good chorus or a good, you know, bridge, something that's like fun or like a good kick, you know, like, so when you hear that stuff I think you're always like open to that. So, you know, in the past in our life, anytime you're like, oh, this is a really good song, I'll listen to it, like, oh, that is a good song, you know, like I would just like would have never listened to that song, you know, like not because I am like closed-minded about music, but just because I'm more narrow-minded, I guess, you know, more just like, I'll just listen to this stuff and I'll put on whatever and just like listen to it. I listen to music all the time, but you know, I have my playlists are like, you know, like folk rock and rock and roll and like blues and reggae. Right, and you know, like I just had these lists of like Pandora and I just listened to it and it's kind of just plays the same thing over and over and over again. But you know, I have a huge Pandora list of all different types of music and stuff. And, that's one of the things I like. There used to be I forget what the radio station was here in Baltimore, but it was like a deep cuts classic rock station. So like you'd get the normal classic rock station and there was like the other one that was like the deep cut station. So it always played like the stuff you hadn't heard before. And I was like, that's the coolest stuff. That's the stuff I'd always wanted to hear.
Yeah. It's not the nice thing about, well, having this huge backlog of music that was done before we were born pretty much. And also there's no stigma of like liking ABBA or liking something like that because it's so old.
Right.
Back then it was like this like disco versus rock and roll versus like pop. Like it was like a huge thing. Now it's like, it doesn't matter. We're way past any of that. Like,
yeah,
you know, a disco seems like a Beethoven symphony compared to like the music now, you know? So it's like what they thought was maybe simplistic and stupid compared to a classic rock band is now like can be very complex and interesting, right? Like a pop song written in the 70s is much more complex and interesting, in my opinion, to something now. It just keeps getting like degraded as it goes, you know, simpler and simpler and simpler. But back then, I think it was a bit more was put into it. Even the pop, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It's hard because there's so much good stuff now and then, and you know, it's, you gotta, I think, like, you know, like I was saying, you gotta kind of dig to find it, you know, if you're willing to dig to find it. But yeah, like, I mean, you know, there's, it's funny cause I did not realize as you were saying it, that ABBA was, like two guys and two girls that were like together. But one of my like favorite bands now is Lucious, and it's two girls. And I think it had started out as like two girls and their husbands, like they, two girls that became friends in college and then their husband, they like were dating and then they married and there was like their four of them. And now they have like different band members and stuff. So, but they, you know, they do a funky mix of like folky stuff and rocky stuff and disco-y sounding stuff. And
Yeah.
Just kind of like poppy, you know.
Yeah. Super good. I will say ahead of time, like, I only know the ABBA hits, and some of the ones I've heard that weren't the hits are very, like, campy. Like, I feel like when ABBA goes off the rails a little bit into, like, corniness, it really goes corny. Like, but they also do have, like, 10 to 20 songs that are great, you know, in my opinion. But, so I don't know all the, like, deep cuts yet, but the big hits, most of them, I think, are awesome. But yeah, I don't know. ABBA.
What was the quote again? It's like money, money.
Oh, it's one of their songs. Money, 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 ain't it funny? And which I don't actually like that one as much either. But I thought it'd be funny to like quote ABBA in a weird way.
Money, money, money,
money, money. It's funny.
Jack Nicholson.
Money, money, money.
So we missed last week's podcast because we were camping, or at least I was camping on Thursday night. Because we typically record Thursday nights and then put these out on Friday. And we were camping with our family from last Sunday through Friday. And you were there as well through Thursday morning or whatever. But
Monday to Thursday.
Monday to Thursday, yeah. No, it was great. We had a blast, and it's nice to have some time. It was nice, but also kind of strange because Corinne is in camp, so she wasn't there with us. So it was just Nicole and I in our campsite, and we had the kind of like the bachelor pad campsite, the party site. So it could be, because it was like you and Drew were in one site because you guys had the little kids that would want to go to sleep early, you know, so it could be quiet. So we had our site over there, and then our parents had their site with like the old people. And then Nicole and I had like this like empty nester site. It was really nice. It was like calm and quiet throughout the day, and like we had our hammock set up right on the water.
You were the only site that I think got reading done and knitting and stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like we would be like wrangling kids on ours, and I'd look over you guys like sitting there like peacefully
calm.
Like, Nicole's knitting, you're like reading a book.
The wind's blowing. It's like
sons of bitches.
And we did our time. We did our time with the kids. Like.
Yeah, no, it was great. Like it always is. And that's a good thing. That's what I kind of told Caitlin, because she stayed home and worked. Very opposite. A lot of the ladies stayed home.
Yeah.
But at first I was like, well, I'll go like a day or two. But then I was like, no, you need to do like 3 nights at least.
You gotta settle into it.
You gotta get settled into the lifestyle of like camping. Yeah. Even though that type that we've done, the car camping, you're not roughing it. We've never roughed it in our family's camping.
Right. Yeah.
But you do need to get settled in that, you know, in and out of tents and going down to water, to the lake, and like eating, you know, and getting ice and getting wood and like. Mm-hmm. Being around and getting to know kind of people around you and stuff. And
like have the evenings by the fire and, you know, like conversations and it's just like kind of settling into the camping lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things like that I've done. I've done a lot of backpacking over the years, but never more than like, I guess maybe 3 nights, you know, so no like long distance backpacking. But like we've done a lot of car camping, you know, every summer since we were all little, we went with our parents, and then we still go pretty often most summers, you know, sometimes it'd be like a week. I think a couple times we went 2 weeks, you know, sometimes it'd be like 10 days. So it was always, you know, multiple nights. You get there on the first day, you get everything set up, you know, and then you kind of settle in, you do the beach stuff, you have dinner, you go to bed, you wake up, and then it's like the same thing, you know, like
breakfast
in the morning.
Right. And I'll say there's a thing about a like extended stay, and unlike most vacations, you're not as rushed and pressured to do everything all at once.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know what, today I'm just gonna chill. Like, yeah, you can take kind of a day off from doing things.
Right.
Like, tomorrow we'll all go out and do the thing, or we'll go hike here, or we'll do the big thing. But
yeah,
today I'm gonna hang out for, you know, you go into the beach. Nah, I'm going to hang here and just read and, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
And then, I mean, like, I didn't stay there that long to really get into too much of that, but it was some of that where I was like, oh, no, right. You guys can go. Like, we're going to sit here. Like,
yeah.
When Maeve was napping, that was actually nice because I did. I got to sit there and, like, read. Like,
yeah, you know, right. Like, well,
I'm
yeah,
going to
exactly.
be here anyway, so.
Yeah,
you guys go ahead. I'm gonna chill in the quiet campsite and read for a bit.
Yeah, it is like you said. Yeah, once you're at a place on vacation, you're there long enough that you can like settle in, relax a little bit, and you know, if you're there for more than like 2 or 3 days, then you feel like, yeah, you're not gonna miss stuff if you don't do something on one day. You want to just relax, and it's nice. And Nicole said that at one point. She was like, "This is so nice. It's so relaxing. Just like just you and I here in the site, you know." Like, and obviously Corinne's old enough now that it would have been like perfectly fine. She would have been like off on her own, but still we would have been responsible for her, you know. So it was like, okay, what do you want to have for lunch? And and like when you're just there with your significant other, like of course, like. We've been married for 18 years, so we already have, like, we've got that, like, you just naturally work together as a team, you know? And so when the Corinne's not there, it's like, we just work together as a team for just the two of us. So it's like, do you want me to make you a sandwich? I'll make you a sandwich. Or, you know, like, what do you want? Do you want to go? No, I'm going to stay here. Okay, well, I'm going to go down and take a swim. It was really nice, though, that spot where we were. So we were at Gifford Pinchot State Park, which is right in Pennsylvania, near York, Pennsylvania. And, the loop that we're in was like the beach loop. So we were right there, you know, like not even 100 yards, like 50 yards from the beach, you know, from like the water. It was like, a, you know, a lake in Pennsylvania. But it was really nice to be able to just like, all right, I'm going to go down to the beach and just like take my shirt off and just grab my towel and walk, you know, like the 50 yards down
right.
the water.
Not have to do a whole thing.
Yeah, because that's like, you know, obviously all the different years we've gone to a lot of different campgrounds with, you know, our family camping, but. Usually wherever your campsite is, it's a, you know, 5 minute walk or something down to the water at like the nearest, you know, like Rocky Gap in Western Maryland. That's like, you know, we have the nice sites that are kind of near the beach, but not really. And so you just kind of walk through the woods to the beach, but still is going to take 5 minutes or something to walk down. So you want to like grab all your stuff and, you know, like, you know, and this is a nice thing too about being that close. It was like, well, we didn't really have to set up umbrellas or anything because you don't have to like stake out your spot and stay there all day. You never stay for a few hours. You like go down, go swimming for whatever, half an hour, 45 minutes and go back to your campsite, you know, like have some lunch, go back down if you want, swim some more. It's like, and the kids play and put on some sunscreen, but it wasn't like we were hanging out there long enough. You know, you're not really like sitting just on the beach reading like we would do at other places. So that was really nice. It was
a good time.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a ridiculous amount of poison ivy all over the place, though.
Yeah, which I didn't get really hit by any. Did you?
I got one little teeny spot on my arm. Maybe two spots on my arm. One like, looks like poison ivy, but it never really itched. And then I had, like, one spot that was a little itchy. Nicole got, like, I don't know, like a sugar snap pea-sized piece on her neck, you know, like, I'm trying to think of whatever that size is, like
on her neck,
pea pod, you know, like, yeah, on her neck. So she must have touched something and then touched her neck.
Yeah.
And apparently Kennedy, our friend Annette's daughter, got it all over her face.
I know.
I was like, oh man. So Drew and I were thinking that it was probably her horse. She's got this stuffed horse that our mom actually got her a couple years ago that she loves. She like runs around with it between her legs like she's riding the horse. She's about six or something like that. And it goes everywhere. She like sleeps with it, so I'm sure that's what it was. I'm sure it must have fallen or something, or got like somehow got poison ivy, and then she just got it like rubbed her face in it. Oh, poor thing. I didn't really hear the extent. Drew just said that Kennedy got it all over her face. I was like, hey, man,
that's brutal.
Yeah, but it was crazy. Like any green space had poison ivy. I was like, ooh, that's the most poison I've ever seen anywhere.
Yeah, we all tried to stay out of it. And the only thing was those, like, no-see-ums or chiggers or whatever they were, the little red bugs.
Yeah, I know.
They tore all covered. Our legs up.
Fortunately, like, were yours itchy? Like,
yeah.
Were they? Mine, itchy? No, mine, like, didn't itch at all. Like, not, like, I had them, you know, all these little red dots, like single spots of red, like all over my legs, but it didn't itch at all. So fortunately.
Yeah, mine was pretty itchy for a couple days.
Yeah.
The itchiness was the same of what it would have been with like poison ivy, but without the spreading. So at least that's nice.
Yeah. No, mine didn't itch. Fortunately, I don't. Maybe it's the same thing in our skin that makes like mosquito bites not itch. You know,
maybe. But mine itched, and I don't really itch at mosquito bites. Well,
you're weaker than I am. So
I see. That's what
I see. Okay. Yeah, but the mosquitoes were pretty bad too. I mean, we did have a spot right on the water, which was awesome. I guess the mosquitoes were really only like bad at night, you know, which is usually when they come out and around dusk or whatever, around the fire. But fortunately for us, we're very mosquito, anti-mosquito. Our skin, mosquitoes do not like our skin, which is nice. But yeah, Nicole just, my wife, she just like kind of cover up. And fortunately it was like nice enough in the evenings, you know, she would just wear long pants and socks inside of her Crocs and long sleeve shirt. She's like, all right, I'm good. Spray a little bug spray on her neck. And
it was a good time.
Yeah. And we had good weather other than like the one crazy storm that came through on Thursday after you left, like Thursday afternoon. And it was wild.
It was a little warm, but certain times, but not that bad. And I got my new Milwaukee fan, which was cool, like a work fan. Rocking, but if you put it on low, it was perfect. And for 3 nights and 3 naps, I had 3 batteries and it was perfect.
Oh, right on.
Like nice. I had 2 small drill batteries and then 1 pretty chunky one.
Yeah.
And it was just enough for so.
Nice.
Now I know those 3 batteries can cover 3 days.
1 battery a day.
Yeah, right. With a nap, with like an hour or 2 nap.
Right.
And then a full night's sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously like during the naps, that's important, right? Because it's warmer during the day. The tent's hot. Right. But like at night, I was fine. I mean, I didn't have a fan and I was good. I was a little warm. I was just laying on top of my, basically on top of the, you know, the bed with no sheets or nothing, just like there in my underwear.
Yeah.
And then like in the middle of the night, I would kind of pull the sheet up over me a little bit, you know, like, ah, it feels nice. But yeah, it was fine. Mm-hmm. Like it would have been nicer to have a fan, but it wasn't like so ungodly hot that, you know, also like staying up late into the night. So it's like the cools down and a little bit of breeze. Like, ah, it's nice.
Right.
But yeah, we had a wild storm came through. It was like about 10 minutes or so, just like insane winds, like 30-knot winds and like dumping rain. We had, so the way we, our family
left for,
yeah, you were gone. Our family does, the reason why, Devin, you're saying is like not, that it's like, we're not roughing it, is that like over the years we have figured out ways to avoid having any like quote unquote hardship during camping, you know, like air mattresses in the tents. And, you know, and the one thing is that we have these 20 by 40 foot tarps that we string up above the entire campsite. So like the tents and the picnic table, everything is underneath the tarp. So you have like, if it does rain, you're under the tarp and it covers your whole site and your tents don't get wet. But Nicole and I didn't set ours up because the weather was like pretty good the whole time. So we didn't set up the tent. We just had we had like 8-foot by 8-foot pop-up.
You didn't set up the tarp.
Canopy. Yeah, we didn't set up the tarp. Correct. So we just had the pop-up canopy, which we put over our table, which was fine for the whole week, except for that 10 minutes, which is like, it really didn't do anything for the table. I mean, I guess it kept it drier than if it was just in the drenching rain, but like the wind was, because it was so windy that the rain was like, everything got wet. And my tent, which is a 10-foot by 10-foot square dome tent, like half of it collapsed in from the wind. Fortunately, the fly was staked down, so it didn't like blow away or anything. It just like popped in, and I like ran out into the rain and grabbed it and like shook it, and it popped back open again. I was like, holy crap. But yeah, it was wild. And the tarp over your guys' site was like blown super far down on one side, and then like it was, because it was catching the wind like a sail, so like the side that was close to us was like pushing down, and it was like up in the air like all crazy. And yeah, it was wild. But everyone survived. Made it through the storm. But yeah, other than that, it was great weather. You know, like I said, it was a little warm, but that's okay.
You know, I'm thinking about it now, I wouldn't mind having a little RV like Mom and Dad have.
Yeah,
get one of those like new fancy ones.
Yeah, like one of the, yeah, like a teardrop or something. There's a bunch of like fun little ones that, you know, kind of expand out enough to basically just be like an interior. So it's basically like a hard tent, you know, so, and you can stand up in it. Usually they'll have little bathrooms and stuff. Mom and dad's is pretty small.
Right. Something that size. It wouldn't really go any bigger than that. And my, you know, my truck wouldn't be able to pull much more than that anyway.
Right. Yeah. Because Nicole and I have been looking, for like pop-ups.
Yeah, the idea is, you don't want to go too much bigger than that. Then it just becomes a home, like a trailer home, like with everything. Yeah. Like some of the ones we drive by in the RV part of it.
Right.
Were like, you see, past that one, they had like a 55-inch television in there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, what are you doing?
So, I mean, I guess if you stay there, kind of like Maker Camp, maybe you do stay there in the summers or something, or whatever it is.
And that's fine. If you're like,
then you want a little home away from home.
If you're road tripping, you know, you're driving across the country and you have, then it's, you have their, you know, all your amenities.
But to have something, to have a little trailer, something like that, that you could just do a weekend or in the winter, you have a little thing that has heat, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
That you can get away. And then all these places that are pretty much empty or cheap, you can still go out and have a nice little, like, weekend vacation. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to wherever, and it'll be wide open, and we'll just be out there.
Yeah, right. Spend like $25 a night or something on a site, you know?
Right.
Electricity, and we went car camping. It was like Nicole and Corinne and I and Charles and Carrie. I don't think they had summer yet, but we went, I think it was like, I can't remember the name of the park, but we went. It was like in October, like the middle to the end of October, and it was pretty cool. Like, I think it actually kind of snowed a little bit one evening, and so we actually had an electric site, and we brought a little space heater, and so we had that just like in the tent. So even that inside of the regular tent made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, 'cause inside the tent, it like kept all of it in. You like open the fly and go out in the morning. And I was like, whoa, you know, it was like 20 degrees colder out than it was inside the tent. Yeah. I mean, that was super nice. You know,
That just from normal winter camping, where it's just your body heat.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're like getting dressed and stuff, and you crack that door and you're like, whew.
Yeah. The breeze comes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was kind of surprised. Like, I was like, oh man, this is actually really nice. You know, it was like, it made it easy to camp when it was colder out, you know, like in the fall. Yeah. And, you know, we do a lot of backpacking in the fall. So we're used to it being cold at the nights, you know, down into like the high 30s or low 40s, you know, and then, you know, during the 60s and 70s during the day. And, you know, we don't ever have heat in the tents. We just had all of us together, but it was nice having a little space heater. We're like, ooh, this is nice.
I was gonna say. Oh, maybe we should. Well, let's see. Next week. Okay, next weekend I'm going away to the beach, so we can get one more podcast in. Okay. I was thinking we should do a camping special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get a net on.
Yeah.
And the boys.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
So maybe next week we'll leave a little bit of, even though that it wasn't anything crazy necessarily having this trip, but like
more just like the history of us camping together and
tell all the camping stories, all this silly stuff all in one.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Annette was on. Did she say, were you there when she was talking about her podcast she was on?
Yeah. Well, why don't you want to save that for the
Sure. Yeah, we could do that.
As a teaser. Our family friend Annette, she was on a famous podcast. Which one was she on?
Yeah, put your thoughts in the comments below. Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, I wonder if we'd have to figure out. Yeah, we got to figure out the whole, because I think we can do like three additional links from what I do. So it may be like you have to come down here and then we send out. You know, do a remote Drew, Derek, Annette.
Yeah. And we'll figure that out. Next week, maybe.
This is riveting podcast material right here.
Now we're checking.
Planning for next week.
Checking our schedules. Oh, man. Maybe we can do it this Sunday night or something.
Okay. No, can't do that. I won't be back. No? Oh, I'll be back Sunday night, but late Sunday night.
Oh, that's right. You guys are doing the...
doing the Gov Cup. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Who'd you say again?
Yeah, every year. Here we go.
The Governor's Cup race. It's our bay race that we do, 72 miles from Annapolis down to St. Mary's College.
Why don't you win this one? Huh?
That's the goal.
Last year, you guys so close.
Second place last year. Second place the year before.
If you're not first, you're last.
Always the bridesmaid. Although I was thinking 2 years ago. We got second, and then another boat that races in our regatta, they got third. So two of the top three places were all from North Point Sailing Association. It's like, yeah, we're representing in second and third place. But what do you got to do? Yeah, it should be fun. We're excited. It's supposed to be good wind. Like, we're looking at, like, 15 to 20 knots most of the night. So, but I think it's going to be mostly from the south, which means it'll be... you know, kind of reaching or, you know, upwind most of the race, which it always is, but it is what it is. So,
yeah.
But now we got a nice, you know, bigger boat than we used to. Then you went on with us. So it's a lot more comfortable. And, and now we do 2 hour shifts on the helm instead of, you know, it used to be like three or four, depending on who was sailing. Back in the day, it was like just Uncle Jack who would helm all night long, you know, but now I'll helm and Charles and Drew, you know, between the four of us, Jack, me, Charles and Drew, we just take 2 hour shifts. So yeah. It makes it easy, you know, cause just like focusing racing, you know, driving the boat for that long, it just, you know, that amount of focus is exhausting. So we'll take turns, which is nice. You know, we used to do 3 hour shifts when it was just Charles, Jack, and I helming, but now Drew's helming as well. So put him on for a little bit. And 2 weeks ago, after our race, we were coming back across the channel because we were racing with our neighboring sailing association across the channel that goes into the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. And so we were coming back across a little bit, you know, traveling a little bit further distance than we normally do. And Corinne was driving the boat. So she was helming the boat on the way back from sailing. Yeah. So we're trying to get her more experience on the helm, actually, like driving, because this year, like, there's a race that we do each year with North Point Sailing Association, which is called Women at the Helm. So it's like a breast cancer fundraising race that we do, and each boat has to have a woman driver. So, like, woman driving, you know, driving the boat. And so our person who normally drives with us told me this year that she couldn't do it with us. So we're like, all right, Corinne, you got to start practicing up because she's going to have to be our helmswoman. So it's cool. And she's all about it. Like, she's like not nervous at all. And they're like, hey, you want to drive? She's like, sure. Yeah. She'll jump on and takes good direction. And, you know, and I just kind of, we're telling her what to do and giving her different pointers and stuff. And She'll get used to it, but yeah, she was all about it. It was fun. It's cool to see her there doing that. Something nice. That like, you know, that I love so much that I've done forever since I was only a few years older than she is now. And, you know,
right.
See her like enjoying it and wanting to come out each week. And, you know, it's like half of it, I would say like half is about the sailing and half is about the camaraderie of the sailing team. You know, it's about just hanging out with the guys and, you know, drinking beers and hanging out and cracking jokes and laughing and sailing and racing and all that together. Beers? Yeah, she's drinking all night long, gets trashed. 13. She's like, what did you start drinking when you were 14, 15?
14.
Crazy. Oh, it's nuts.
No. I don't think it's up to you.
Yeah, hopefully I can, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, as a parent looking back at the thing, I mean, I didn't really start drinking until I was probably 18 or something, you know, in college. but like, I don't know. I mean,
there's nothing you can do. I mean, you just,
no, yeah, there's nothing you can do. Like, I think we had good parents who led a good example of like, you know, how to be responsible and how to like, not take unnecessary risks and, you know, be respectful. And yeah, and Corinne has that same thing, you know?
Yeah, so. True. I think she'll be more curious about it, seeing how most of us drink around them more than right. people drank around us.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know?
Yeah.
Because mom and dad really, really never drank in front of us. Barely at all.
Right. Yeah. And well, that's just because they just weren't drinkers, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
That's like we'd go to parties so, and there was alcohol and stuff around like all the time.
And that's what I'm saying. But we are like her uncles and her mom and dad.
Right. Yeah.
And her grandparents and like they're all. So I feel like if she gets the offer, she's going to take it. But
yeah. And I just like, you know, we try to be like honest with her about it. And, you know, and like I've let her try different stuff before just to try it to see what it tastes like, you know, because like I'd rather her. You know, I'd rather it not be a big deal, you know, that way when she like, when she gets offered a drink, like if she's not like interested in drinking, she won't. And if she is, she will, you know, not because like it's something that she was never allowed to do,
but you know, more just gave me a little bit. I want the whole thing.
Right. But you know, it's like, it was never like, it's not something that she's rebelling against, you know, where she's going to go out of hand, you know, like, it's like, yeah, okay. If you want to drink, you know, if like you're at a thing and people are drinking, like maybe you do it. Because you want to do it, but not because you're like trying to prove a point or something. You know what I mean? Like, I just hope that she has like a responsible mind about drinking rather than a like a want to buck the system and, you know, do what I was never allowed to do. So I'm going to go crazy, you know? So
yeah,
I think that's more of it. You just teach them the right type of responsibility, you know? And like, yeah, hopefully.
No, yeah. You do what you can do.
Yeah. But
and she's going to have some good friends pressuring her. I remember I had a couple friends after school. This was might have been in high school or middle school. Like, I think it was high school, like ninth grade. Went over after school, you know, and they're like taking shots of stuff. I don't know if I had ever. Well, I had taken shots, but at least to me, that was foreign. Like the middle, like after school, like 3 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah. That felt slightly wrong. You know,
right. Yeah, right.
So at least
exactly.
I had that. Like, so you just give them enough of that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. We probably shouldn't be. I gotta go home. Like after this, like,
right? Exactly. Yeah,
doing shots of stuff with you guys.
Yeah, you're like, that's not the right time. You know,
like, right? Like I'll still hang out, like just hang out, and maybe,
yeah,
maybe I had one or like, but they were like getting drunk, and I was like, I'm good for now, you know.
Just, yeah, like, right. Like, yeah, it just doesn't seem right. Like,
I know. Like,
maybe, later, you know, if I'm spending the night somewhere, yeah,
out,
right.
Like that'll be cool, but
yeah. Right, exactly. Just seems a little bit irresponsible in this moment. Like, what are we doing? Come on.
Yeah, I still gotta go home and like have dinner with my family, and
yeah, right, exactly. But yeah, so Nicole was actually talking about possibly coming down and sailing back with us on Sunday. So yeah, so the races starts Friday afternoon, and we race all night Friday night into Saturday morning, and then we stay Saturday day, have food, and there's a big party, and then we wake up early Sunday morning and sail back. So we'll be back Sunday night, and then yeah. So that being said, we won't be able to record Sunday night because Drew and I will be on our way back from the Governor's Con.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Yeah,
but we can figure something out, you know, if it's, I have 2 weeks before I get to go back to work. Ugh. Yeah, well, 2-3 weekends, so this weekend, next weekend, the following weekend, and then back to the real world, back to work. Yeah. It's a dagger. Actually, we're going camping one more time up in Pennsylvania at Ohio Pile, I think it is. And that's in a couple weekends. We'll be there with Nicole, and our parents and her parents are going to come down from Vermont. And Kate and Sean will be there, and the Greens will be there with their kids. And it'll be like a combined Corinne, Nicole, Emery birthday party weekend. So
cool.
Yeah, Corinne will be 14 in September. Nicole's turning 40 in August 18th. I know, right? And then Emery will be 7. I think he's like a couple days after Nicole. So, yeah, so that'll be fun. And then, but originally, like the plan was to go, like to do a weekend trip, but then a few people were like, oh, we can stay a little bit longer. So I think now the plan is to stay through like the Wednesday of that week. But then I didn't realize at the time that we were planning all this that I had to be back to work that week. So so I get to go for the weekend and then I have to come back on Sunday. And then I got to go to work on Monday. So such is life.
So it goes and so it goes.
Yeah. And so we were actually like, we had mom and dad's pop-up. So our parents had a pop-up camper that they had before they got their current camper, which is like a small pull behind, you know, all in one thing. And so we had theirs. My dad was just going to get rid of it. And Nicole was like, yeah, just have them give it to us. We'll, you know, we'll use it probably. Like, we like it. And it had like another year on the tags or whatever. So the registration. So we're like, well, I'll just hang on to it. So in February, we got it signed over into our name and we got new tag or new, like, the title and the stickers and stuff for it. And then we opened it up a month ago and it was all like mouse eaten holes all over everything, way more than before. And mouse pee all over everything, poo everywhere.
You should have opened it before you did the,
yeah, we should have, but you would think if it's all closed and sealed up, it'd be fine, but
they're not sealed up that well.
Yeah. Right.
And it was just out in the yard for 2 years, just
So yeah, so we've been looking to possibly buy another one. There was one for like $800 on Craigslist over in West Virginia, and the guy said it's in really good condition, but it's just the crank handle to lift it up was broken or something, or the mechanism was broken. So he said he looked into it. It was like a $65 part for it. So we thought about it, but it's too quick a turnaround. We were looking to try to hopefully get it for that camping trip, but too quick a turnaround. So we'll wait for next season.
You hear that, RV sites and sponsors? If you want to sponsor the Art of Craftsmanship, we would like to. We will do a whole video. We'll do a whole camping series.
Yeah, they could send us two different ones, and we could do it like a versus.
Well, or we could share one and just time share it out.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. Back and forth. Hey, I'm taking it this week.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. All right, start reaching out. That's what you said recently. You want something, just reach out to companies and get it.
Reach out. No one wants to give us anything. No one wants to pay us for sponsors, but they might give us something.
Yeah, right, exactly. Speaking of stuff that we got, we're currently working on the Laser Pecker video, which has been going really well. That thing is really cool. I did spend a decent amount of time, not today, but yesterday, down in the shop playing with it, getting some footage. There's only one mini flash drive or mini card in that GoPro kit. So you must have the other one. It had like 18 minutes of footage on it. And I was like, crap. So I got a bunch of footage, but then I was like, oh, well, I can just go back and delete some of the stuff on it.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't have to. Yeah. I was like, everything else is fine. So, but yeah, I got some footage of that. I did, I etched some leather and I etched leather, which was cool. Nice. I tried to etch the wooden ruler that came with it and absolutely nothing happened.
Huh.
Like nothing, like you not set even
it on,
the slightest.
You set it on wood.
I said no. There is no wood setting because it's a fiber laser.
Oh well, then
and I was like,
goes.
Yeah. I was reading the like things inside, and it was like, it's impossible to etch, you know, engrave on wood or bamboo. I was like, and I read that after I did it. I even tried it on like the highest setting. It was like 100% depth, 100% power. I was like, you know, like a. Like, whatever, like, one pass, two passes, nothing. Zero, absolutely nothing happened to the wood.
Everything in the house dimmed.
Yeah, right. And the wood just chilling, like, do-do-do-do-do, like, nothing. I did, I etched a AOC 2023 logo on one of the half-hatchet, modded half-hatchets that I have sitting on my desk, and did, like, a pretty nice, you know, a deep enough etch that I can feel it. You know, like on that, so that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then I did an etch on a piece of mild steel, and I did like that where we did like the, I did a 100% power, 10% depth, one pass. And then I did 100% power, 20% depth, one pass. You know, and I did it all the way down. So one, like 10, 20, 30, 40, all through 100. Yeah. And they definitely etched differently, but then I went back over it with like a Scotch-Brite and it basically like rubbed everything off on the mild steel. So I don't know. And then I was playing with it on like the broken blade for the sheep shear knives, and I couldn't get it to etch very well on that. So I don't know how to play around with it. But then I did like a little knife that I've made a while back, and I etched the AOC logo on that, and that one worked fine. So that was like, you know, but it was also cleaner steel than the sheep shear knives. You know, they have patina and stuff on them. So we'll see. I'll play with it again tomorrow for a bit and get some more footage with the GoPro, and then we can do a finishing thing on the video, and we'll try to etch some knives. See how it goes. Yeah. But it's pretty cool, man. It's fun. It's so easy. Like, they have this app that comes with the Laserpecker, and it's just like, if you're doing just like kind of crafty stuff, there's like a huge library of like clip art to choose from, and you can type directly into. You just add some text and some date and whatever, and you just hit go. Yeah. And it's super easy to focus the laser and everything. It's a really nice, like very user friendly machine. So I'm really excited to use it.
That was actually part of why I picked the money quote, now that you bring it up, because we were joking about how easy it was. Mm-hmm. And then you told me it was $1,500. I was like, well, yeah, you spent $1,500. It's real easy to do it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Money, money, money.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't it funny?
It makes it nice and easy, but it costs a lot of money.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why would I etch anything with like a electro etcher after this? It doesn't make any sense. When you could spend $1,500 instead of the $300 laser, like electro etcher. Mm-hmm. Personalizer plus.
Yeah. So yeah, try to get that on I guess that other, you said it just rubbed off.
I took a Scotch-Brite, like an old piece of a Scotch-Brite belt, and rubbed it, and without a ton of effort, it came off.
And what was it set at?
I did a bunch of different ones.
They all rubbed off?
Yeah, pretty much. So I'll have to I'll play with it some more tomorrow. I'll play with it with some different steel and stuff and see what it does.
Maybe a different sharpness, maybe 4K or 2K or whatever.
Yeah. Because I did some 1K and then I did some 2K. I didn't do any 4K. And I can't remember what I did on the axe head, but the axe head etched great. But I did it really I think I did like 50% depth, 100% power, and like 5 passes.
Yeah.
And it took about 22 minutes. But
it's
nice and deep, you know, like that's definitely like etched down in, you know, maybe like I don't even know what that is, like a couple hundred thou or something, you know, like a couple pieces of like paper, you know, like it's deep enough where you can feel it. Like it's definitely etched down in. It's not just surface etched, but or engraved or whatever. But
yeah, I think that's what you're going to need to do a lot. Yeah. Like a half an hour on each.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're obviously, like, it took 22 minutes or something like that to do. It was, like, a big logo. It was, like, an inch tall and, you know, 2 inches or something wide, plus I did the year 2023 right below it. And that big thing, you know, it was, like, a 2x2 square with, like, stuff inside etched. That took 22 minutes, and it etched deep. So the little logo, like, on the knives, it's only, like, a... like 5/8 of an inch wide and like a 1/4 inch tall, you know, so it's little. So even
it might take or something.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So it might, you know, to etch it really deep, I might have to do it a little bit longer, or I might have to do it like on a different area that has less patina or something on it, you know, more like clean steel. I'm not sure. So,
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was a little frustrated because I was like, why isn't it working? I'd like do like power that I think would work. And then I go to Scotch-Brite like just to test it. And like just kind of basically all rubs away. Like it was like kind of etching the surface, but not, you know, maybe it was like, maybe it's just like etching into the patina and not into the steel. And so as I like clean it, it's just kind of
like, or it's like away. Burning something on it. You know?
It's like it's there. But it's like I was basically almost able to make it like invisible, you know, unless you're really looking in like a certain light, you can tell that it's still actually etched into the steel a little bit. But so play around with it, but it's cool. I mean, like I like that it's super easy. I think that has the potential to actually work really well. I think it's more just like a, you have to play with the settings and you have to try different things. And like, it's not going to be just a, like, perfect every time, which I think actually makes for a better review video. You know, like, these are the things that I did. These are a little frustrated. This is like what happened, you know, like, and like, these are things you might have to try. Because I tried to look it up, you know, like look up different things and, you know, like, what types of, you know, I try to look up like what are all the things you can etch with a Laser Pecker 3, and every website, every review was just like, just spit back at me the information that I got from the Laser Pecker website. It's like, these are the things that it's for. Like, that's not what I want to know.
You gotta mess around with it.
Yeah. I want to know what it will etch, you know, like everything. Like, I want to know that it won't etch wood, like, before I do that, because right. It will not etch wood, like, as far as I could tell. Unless there's some like coating on that ruler, which I'm sure there probably is some type of like thin varnish or something, but so I'll play with it for some other stuff. But it did etch like just regular leather really well, which it said it would etch like painted leather, varnished leather or something, you know, like that makes sense, or faux leather too, but it's regular leather. It looked great. So
that's sweet.
Lots of potential in, you know, crafty stuff. I'm really excited to try different stuff.
You need to, maybe that one axe you already etched something on. You have like an etch, a laser test axe and a laser test knife. And you'll just have little things all over. It'll be kind of interesting. Like, it'll have a bunch of different logos all over it, like a weird tattooed up person.
Well, it's like the blade that we were testing on when we were shooting together. You know, it's like a broken blade. Yeah, you know,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be cool to have an actual like
a finished knife. Yeah, right.
And, and an axe there. You know that one of the heads that you might not. One of the $2 heads you got.
Yeah, right.
And just like, I'm going to etch a bunch of stuff on this.
Yeah.
Just have it all.
Well, the thing is like, you know, like once I figure out how to etch on that material, then that's like it. The thing is like understanding how it etches on different materials, you know? And so I think that's kind of just a trial and error, you know, or different like, you know, the difference between mild steel that has some, what it's called. It's basically like when you get steel, it has a layer of oxidization on the outside that you usually have to grind off before you do stuff with it. But like mild steel has that. And so I had a chunk of mild steel and it didn't etch very well into that. But maybe that was because there was like a layer of mill scale. That's what it's called. A layer of mill scale on the outside. So maybe I have to grind that off first. And then like I was doing that. And then I did like a piece of high carbon steel, which seemed like it etched fine. Like, it wasn't super deep, but I wasn't able to, like, scratch it off. And then I etched the leather, and obviously the leather is not, like, scratching off. That's actually, like, burning into it because I could smell it, which was delightful. and then didn't do anything to the wood. And then to, like, the broken sheep shear knife, which has, like, a, you know, 100 years of patina on it, it like, didn't do very well. So that's the thing. It's more of kind of a, like, if you're going to do an etching on something. Now, I would say probably like 75% of the time or more, I'm going to be using it for etching finished blades and axes. You know, so they're like high carbon steel or...
Maybe though, you're doing a lot more cheap shear knives.
Well, yeah, but those are high carbon steel.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
But yes, that's what I'm saying.
But they will have, they will have deep
patina. Patina, right. But yeah, exactly. But right, so maybe I will be doing it on a bunch of that, but I would think, you know, like, that's really, like, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. It's just slower, more deliberate, more passes, more,
yeah, I mean,
you know, it takes time.
It has the power steel to do it. It just has to, I just have to figure
it's
out.
It's got to, you know, blast through steel. It's not, not easy.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. I know, I mean, it's like... It's surprising how well it works, though. It's really cool. You know, it's like, man, this is awesome. It's like, open up a world of thoughts. And like Jeremy from Simple Little Life, he's got a X-Tool laser, which he's doing some, you know, metal etching and stuff as well with. And he's like, it's crazy. His whole life, you know, he's like, he always feels like he's like a maker, you know, like pretty much make anything. Like, if you have something you need to make, I can make it. If it's metal, if it's wood, whatever it is, like, I can weld, I can cut, I can glue, I can do all of it. You know, like, I can fabricate, I can machine. Mm-hmm. But that's all, like, that's, it's not technology. That's, I mean, it's technology, but it's, like, that's the hands-on stuff. Mm-hmm. He's, like, and he was never really into the more technological side, like CNC or laser, stuff like that. But now that he's got the X-Tool, he's, like, this is super exciting. Like, I'm thinking about all the stuff I can do now, like, with this laser. Right. He's like, freaking lasers, man. It's funny. Lasers. So, yeah, it's fun. So, but the videos, I think that'll be interesting. And, you know, the Laser Becker was, they didn't sponsor the video, but they sent us the machine, which is super cool. And, you know, and they had minimum requirements for what they wanted. It was like, yes, we want a video, and it's gotta be a positive video. So, like, you know, a positive review video. So, like, they, I think it was kind of like, if you don't like it, you got to send it back, you know, like, don't do a video on it being bad. So they're like, we're sending it to you for a positive review video. So this, it'll be like an honest review. It is a really cool machine, and it does. It's super easy to use. And,
well, yeah, if it didn't work, you'd probably send it back and not. Or if it didn't work well, we'd still do a video, but we'd send it back.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, this is a piece of trash. It lit something on fire. It didn't do anything. Like, it exploded.
I did do. There was, when I got to the end of the like, the test piece of steel, and I did like the 100% with 100% depth and whatever, like it does a warning that's like, you know, do you have your eye protection on, are you ready for me to start the laser? Say yes. And then right after that, it was like another warning. When I got to that point, it was like, we recommend that you don't go above 90% for most materials, like for like, you know, potential fire starting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're like, you know, basically saying like, you shouldn't be using like more burnable materials at that point, you know, like, don't use leather or wood or whatever you're putting it on. Like, you know, I was like, no, I'm doing steel. So I just let it go and it was fine. But it was funny that one popped up, a secondary warning. I was like, whoa, whoa, 100% power, 100% depth. You're getting kind of crazy here. But yes.
Cool. Yeah, we'll be doing that tomorrow. And
yep.
Putting that out soon. I don't think we'll have time for the other review video that we're going to do, but.
Right. We'll see. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, you know, everything always takes longer than we thought. Although, like, setting that up was nice and quick, and, you know, we got that first day of filming pretty quickly. So I think we'll kind of play with it. And, you know, obviously we don't have to, you know, etch all the knives. But I think it's, like, it'll be interesting to show it as, like, a process, too. Like, okay, we want to set it up. You know, unfortunately, the all the knives that we're etching are not the same size blades. So it's not like we can just set up a template, you know, spot for it and put it back in the same spot every time.
And
but that being said, it's super easy to like set it where it goes and, you know, so.
Yeah. And there's 11 of them. And if they each take 5, 10, whatever.
Right. Exactly.
We just don't have the time to.
Yeah. Right. But like, we'll show the process. Just
do a couple or whatever, what we can do. And then.
Yeah.
You can always end with a time lapse or something. That'd be kind of cool.
That's a good idea. Just doing a bunch I could shoot that. Yep. Yeah. I did do, like, I was kind of playing, like I said, I was playing with that little broken blade, and I kept etching it and then changing the settings and etching again, playing on my phone, reading some stuff up, changing the settings, doing it again. And I realized, like, half or two thirds of the way through me doing that, the amount of time it was taking me to do that, I was like, I should be time lapsing this to just, like, show that I'm sitting here just like playing and like figuring it out.
Right.
I did set up the time lapse and got like the last two of them. So,
did you get some close up stuff?
Yep. Yeah. So I got like as close as possible with the GoPro, on like different spots. You know, some normal time, some time lapse stuff, and nice. I'll do some more tomorrow before you get here, and it'll be fun. Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool machine. It's like I said. It's so easy. Which I think is the coolest part. It's just like very user friendly and very easy to set up and easy to use. And it's a
get what you pay for.
Yeah, it's a pretty specific purpose. Like, it's got a very specific purpose for that machine for that price. But like, if you know, if you're doing what I'm doing, it's like fits the need perfectly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, I'm not, if, you know, if the main purpose for it was to just etch maker's marks, or even like just, you know, that, like a few decorative things, maybe on some steel, things like that. It's like, it's exactly perfect for that job, you know, like, and it makes it super easy and repeatable and perfect every time. And, you know, it does a great job. Like I said, it's not super versatile. It's not like you can etch big giant things, or, you know, because there are different machines that do that, that can move around on gantry systems and stuff and etch bigger surfaces. But for what it does, it's really cool. And it did come with the rolling, roller machine thing that basically you can put in something cylindrical and put it and it'll roll it and etch as it goes. So that's pretty cool.
That'd be cool for cups and koozies and stuff. We can put the logo on and send them out to podcast guests and whoever, and people win stuff or whatever. What was saying?
Yeah, I was thinking like too, for like, if we get some koozies with, I don't know. I'm thinking like if we get a koozie with like a, say it's like a black foam interior with like a color exterior, we could etch, you know, we could etch on those because it would like burn through the outer layer and be into the end.
I think we should find a way to get bulk. They don't have to be Yetis, but, you know, vacuum sealed tumblers.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure you can get them for Amazon. Probably if you buy like 50 of them, you probably get them $3 a pop or something, you know, something that's doable. And then we just have a bunch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can put put our logo on it. That'd be cool to even, like, have a guest, and we put, like, their name on it, too, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right.
So you, like, personalize send them it one. For each person. Yeah. Like, thank you, you know, whoever.
That's a good idea. And just bring them to, like, place, you know, like, something like Maker Camp. I could bring them along and sell them for, like, $5. You know, like, and do it where it's, like, cheap enough that people just, like, oh, that's cool. You know, they can want to buy it, but, or give some away, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do some stuff at Maker Camp.
Yeah, I got
get
some.
Away some get away got, some Bow Yeti cups.
Yeah, maybe.
Bow Maker
Yeti cups. Mm-hmm. I did. I ordered some new stickers, and I also have been talking a little bit to Austin. He thinks he does have a space now for us to actually be able to shoot bows, which is cool. Sent me a message. He was like, wait, I think I might have a space for you guys. Pretty cool. I told him, I was like, that's awesome. You know, I'll bring some extra targets and stuff and bring all of my bows so people can just like shoot the bows that I have, you know, which would be cool. And there's also going to be a flint napping group, like people who are doing flint napping.
So be near them.
Yeah. I forget what the, there's like a tent specifically, like, that's like, sponsored by something like that. That's like a primitive something or a, you know, flint napping stone something tent. So like, I'm assuming we'll probably be there. And
That'd be great.
Did we podcast? I guess we talked to Chris 2 weeks ago, and that was after we came back from Friends on the Farm with Adrian.
Yeah, we
Vita.
Talked about all that. Yeah.
So
that or was, maybe I think we did.
Yeah, but we did, you know, we brought the bows along there and had everybody shooting then. That was fun. Shooting to the bow shoot out to, like, brought one of the soldiers.
Yeah, I think, great. You should, if he does, you should try to make one big target, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like one of those hay wrapped or something like that. Yeah. I don't know how you would do it, but.
Yeah, I'm sure you could do something, paint something fun, you know?
Yeah, or just take some hay bales up.
Right, yeah.
Right, and then
I'll talk to him about that and, like, you know, ask him to get a couple, you know, because like,
then,
bales
yeah,
are
then you could just,
you know.
If you had a bunch of hay bales, then yes, you could just spray paint a nice target on it.
Right. Or even I could bring, like, you know, I could do a painted canvas thing with, like, our craftsmanship and a bunch of stuff on it, you know, and do a target, which is kind of fun, and then just put that up over the hay bales. So just aim at that, you know. That would be easy enough.
Yeah.
It'd be cool, yeah. Maybe I use some of Jimmy's hay from his hay loft at the barn. He's got all the hay. But, yeah, so that's cool, and I was just thinking about that because, thinking about going to Adrian, just shooting there and everyone being able to shoot the bows and stuff, and it was really fun to, like, have everybody try them out, you know, and feel what it's like to shoot a long bow. Like, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people have shot bows in their lives, you know, like when they were kids or whatever, but like there's something super satisfying about it, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna have to figure out a whole bunch of stuff with that. Like how often you do it. Is it every 2 hours? Because you're also going to be demonstrating how to make. So you're going to be working on a bow a lot.
Right, yeah.
While you're there. And then maybe every other hour. Like I work on the bow for an hour, then we shoot for an hour.
Yeah, or it'll be like, you know, in the morning, there'll be like a 2 hour session in the morning. The first hour is like a demo, and the second hour is a come shoot. And then there'll be like a 2 hour session in the afternoon or something. Yeah. You know, like that's usually what it's like for most of the people who do demos and stuff. It's, you know, like a few blocks, like maybe it's like a morning block, a midday block, an afternoon block, or, you know, just like a morning and afternoon block. And the, you know, they do that so that way people can do the different stuff throughout all the times and you're not having a ton of overlapping stuff. Although there's obviously a ton of overlap, but you know, they try to spread it out so you can go around and get to stuff. So I'm at least that's the hope.
I'm slightly depressed that I can't come now. So
yeah. Wrap this thing up. You can help me wrap it up. You can help me prepare for it.
I don't want to prepare. All the preparation without the fun at the actual thing.
Yeah, there you go. You had your fun. Now you got to pay for it. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, my recommendation for this week is actually another person who's going to be exhibiting at Maker Camp, and that is Stephen DeForest from DeForest Axe and Tool.
Oh, cool. Nice.
He's we had him on the Maker Camp questions last year video. He was one of our questionees. But he's doing he's an axe guy, and he actually I have one of his axes from a an axe maker swap, Secret Santa type swap thing I've been a part of the last couple of years. And I have an axe that he made, and we met him at Maker Camp, which is cool. He said he was super excited to meet us. That was like one of the main things he wanted to do at Maker Camp, which was awesome and humbling. And, but he's demoing, how to do leather axe masks with composite welts. So he does a really cool thing where he'll use, you know, different type of material in the welt. And if you're not familiar with, like, sheath making, the welt is the piece of leather, typically, that goes in between your two layers of leather that protects the stitching, the closed stitching side of a sheath, from the blade. So the blade slides in, and you don't want it to cut through those stitches, so you put a piece of leather in between, you glue it all, so there's, like, an actual piece there that protects it. So he's done a lot of really cool things with using different type of materials in that welt. So he'll have a leather mask, but the welt will be like stacked G10 or, you know, some type of stabilized wood or something. Like, he uses different materials and different colors and stuff. So he'll be exhibiting and making a bunch of those. So check him out. He does some really cool work. And, he actually just posted, he was working on some tomahawk heads that he's going to be bringing along for maybe like for selling stuff as well as, demoing, but I'm assuming he may be in the same tent as us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Cool. Got any recommendations?
Yeah, a channel I was watching today called History Dose.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, I didn't even know it was a two brothers thing. Apparently, Chris and Joe, they team up. One guy's the historian, one guy's the artist.
Oh, and, nice.
It's really, I was wondering who did the art, because it almost seems, it's really well done, but it's, they've been around for a while, so at first I was like, is this like AI generated like stuff, because it looks really good.
Right,
and,
yeah.
You know, in the most positive way, like.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Not like, oh, it looks like a computer, it just all is really, like, well done painting, or digital paintings, but.
Right.
It's just history stuff, pretty good, like. I watched a couple, like, which I'm trying to look for the exact one I saw, just about, like, the Plains, Native Americans, and, like, Zulus versus British, and all these kind of crazy historical things.
Right.
They're definitely, oh, the terrifying collapse of the Plains Indians. I mean, it's definitely leaned towards the Native narrative, which is fine, like, I get it.
Yeah, right.
There was one they like snuck in, like they were following a tribe that was fighting the American military after the Civil War.
Right.
And at the end, he slipped in like, well, yeah, they did get this land by like decimating this other tribe. Which right. is always so then once you hear that, in my opinion, it's like, look, if you rape, slaughter, and torture anyone yeah. in your run of like military conquest, whatever comes after that you have coming to you. You can't complain about people taking your land after that.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah. And obviously that's not at all the tribes, and every tribe was totally different, and
right,
but
yeah.
some were as vicious as anybody else, like
right, yeah.
But other than that, like it's just really well done, just history stuff with really cool paintings over it. Like,
yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's really cool.
Oh yeah, check out. Yeah. I mean, the only two I watched were the Zulus versus the British, and then the Indian Native
right.
Plains
collapse of the terrifying collapse of the Plains Indians. Yeah,
yeah,
looks cool.
They're nice.
Nice. Yeah, speaking of that, I just, another free recommendation, I just watched what's it called? The Last Kingdom movie that came out. You ever watch any of The Last Kingdom show on Netflix?
Was it the, yeah.
So it's about the British? Utreb. Yeah, yep. So it's basically like the rise of the Brit, of England, you know, during the time of the Danes, you know, the Vikings and the Irish and yeah. the, when the whole... You know, the whole island of Britain was broken into like multiple yeah, kingdoms yeah. Uh-huh. You know, Mercia and Wessex and, you know, all the different right. Umbria. And so there's Uhtred of Bebbanburg, and it follows his story. And so it's 5 seasons of the show on Netflix, but then they came out with like an hour and a half long movie that's kind of like a wrap up of everything, you know. So
yeah,
I just watched that today. That was really good. I really like it. Nice. And I actually read, I like, completely happened upon one of the first books. I was like just literally like at the library a couple 8 years ago or something like this, and like just looking around at stuff maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I was like, oh, let me go look in the fiction aisle, just like look for another book. I'll just see if like the cover of a book captures my eye, and I found yeah. The Last Kingdom, which is like the first book in that whole series. And it was, I guess it was after the first season of The Last Kingdom came out, because it had, you know, like the main character on the movie, the show or whatever. He was like on the cover of it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool looking. I read the synopsis. I'm like, that sounds really interesting. And so then I read a bunch of the books and they're awesome. And then, you know, then watched the Netflix series, which I also really like as well. I thought they did a really good job, but
yeah,
it was good. I also just finished the third season of The Witcher. You watched that yet?
So it ain't good. I don't know. I watched the first season. I wasn't into it.
Yeah, no, I really
didn't watch the first season. I watched the first episode and I wasn't into it.
Dang, you're like, yeah, I'm good. Nah, that was good.
It was the CG monster. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. There's not a lot of monsters in the show.
I know, you
show.
Gotta do what you
and
gotta
then they
do.
Are. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a show about monster hunters, right? Yeah, but but most of it's just following the story of Ciri and the Witcher and, you know.
No, the game is great.
I started playing the game when you first gave me the Xbox One, and then I put it aside and sorry.
And you coughed to death.
Yeah, and then I coughed to death. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. So, what was I saying? Oh yeah, sorry, we had a little technical difficulty, but I was saying how The Witcher, the game. Yeah, so I started playing again today, and it's fun. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I just.
There's like, you know, the story stuff and the very
right.
like, oh, do this, do that. Like once it opens up, man, it's really good.
Yeah. And that I can kind of get a little taste of that, because there's like, you know, you start out and you like have to find Yennefer, you know, you're like trying to find her, and it's like, okay, we'll go talk to these people, and then you got to talk to these people, and you got to like fight a griffin to get some more information. Mm-hmm. But all of that in that time, there was also all these little side quest things that you can do if you want. And so I started even like doing a little bit of those. I'm like, I'm gonna try doing this thing, and you know, do this, and so
yeah, it's so much fun. I kind of want to just play it all again. Great,
but it's a little like, it's definitely, there's a lot of cinematic stuff. Especially in the beginning, you know, where you're
in
like talking to people.
Yeah, there's a lot of
so
that.
Like,
and like I said,
yeah.
it opens up to like, you can kind of take off and do your own thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's fun. I'm excited. And like I was like playing for like 3 or 4 hours today. I was like, all right, I got to stop. I got to do actual things. So then I watched the movie instead. I was like, wait, I want to watch this movie too. Try to get all of my downtime in summer before I have to go back to work.
Before we go, I'm going to throw some ABBA songs at everyone. Then I'll send those in the videos. You don't have to put these in the things. These are just for your own guilty pleasure listening, people. Okay.
All right.
Waterloo, which is a song that made them famous.
Okay.
Does Your Mother Know, which is a good rocker.
All right.
Then there's Chincotita.
Okay.
Which is really good. And then let me give you a fourth. Let's see. I'm just looking back to the ones I've been playing for Maeve and I. And then SOS is really good.
SOS.
There you go. So
nice. A little two free recommendations. There you go. Nice. All right, everybody. Well, hopefully we will try to work out doing the camping history story podcast episode next week, following up our camping trip, which was kind of fun. We did it was you and Drew and I. Derek wasn't there for most of the trip, but he did make it out for a day, and we had some fun with him and Annette, who we've been camping with since we were all kids. So we would tell some stories, talk about that. Hopefully we'll get that done by next week. If not, we'll get it in sooner rather than later, because that does sound like fun to me. So, you know, make sure that you pay attention to that. If you're interested, head over to The Art of Craftsmanship on YouTube and check us out there. We did just recently put up a short about making a forged spoon, and that did pretty well on YouTube. It's got I think like something like over 5,000 views or something, but on Instagram it took off, so yeah. It has over 70,000 views now, and I've gotten almost like 1,000 more followers just from that reel. So so I gotta like keep doing that, but yeah, it's fun to do that stuff. And you know, if you go over to YouTube, you can check out the Blade Show video we put up and check out some of those shorts. So I'm trying to do a few more little shorts here and there and throw them in, just because like when I'm doing stuff around the shop, I think it's interesting. Subscribe over there, comment, let us know what you think. And you can also follow us both on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And if you want to support us further, and there are a bunch of people out there who do, you can go over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship, and you can support us there as well financially. And that's super exciting. We just actually cashed out that sum of our payment over there to get a new camera for the channel. So,
oh, yeah.
It's very exciting. So now I have two cameras to do all sorts of fun shots and do different things that we have been kind of doing with one camera all along, but this will make it flow a little bit better. So we're excited to try that stuff out.
Yeah.
And again, all that stuff from all the patrons over the years who have, supported us financially, all that money, we try to put that all back into the channel as much as possible. So we like to kind of keep it aside a little bit for when we have some of those bigger things that we need to buy for the channel. So works out well. Other than that, guys, thank you so much for listening. Devin, it was a pleasure. Everybody else, we will talk to you next time.